Go.
I'd like to call the order the April 22nd, 2010 Planning Commission meeting. This is a special meeting of the Planning Commission, commencing at 6:03 according to that clock. First order of business is the roll call.
Commissioner Moss?
Here.
Commissioner Kaye is absent. Commissioner Esselman?
Here.
Commissioner Boyle?
Here.
Commissioner Behrens?
Here.
Vice Chair Pukowski is not here yet. Chair Wagner?
Here.
Okay.
So we had some This is that one.
Yeah.
Oh, we're supposed to do the results, but why don't we go ahead and look at the agenda, and Director Tovar had some comments he'd like to share with us, so let's go ahead and do that.
Ready for Point Wells.
Woo-hoo.
Well, as you know, we made a unanimous recommendation back in December to the City Council for a Sebaria plan for Point Wells, as well as a pre-annexation zoning ordinance for Point Wells. It was both went to the City Council. They had two public hearings. The last one was last Monday of this week. They had a second hearing on just the Sebaria plan, not on the zoning. Now, the zoning is not moving forward. Only the Sebaria plan has been adopted by Council. Now, the reasoning for that is that we've known for some time Snohomish County is working on their own process. They have adopted a comprehensive plan amendment last August that designated Point Wells as an urban center. The city appealed that. It's in front of the growth hearings board on a stay temporarily. The county now is working on zoning to implement that. So we've been spending a lot of time talking to the county. The city council sent a letter to the county, actually two letters to the county. One was a joint letter with Town of Woodway and the citizens group out there, say Richmond Beach, commenting on our concerns and asking the county council to give us some consideration. The second was a letter that went out, what was it, yesterday, Steve?
The day before.
To the county council, signed by the mayor, saying, we're very concerned that you're moving forward with zoning amendments for urban center Point Wells. We think strongly that you should support an amendment that was introduced by one of those councilmen to require the developer to get a development agreement signed by the City of Shoreline and Town of Woodway as a condition of a development permit. Now, we're not sure what's going to happen with that. County Council has accepted this comment and noted up these amendments to be considered a decision point on May 5th.
2 weeks from last Wednesday.
So it's under consideration. We're not sure what they're going to do. Meanwhile, because we've been talking to the county and talking to Woodway at length about what are our interests, what would we like the council, County Council to do, when the City Council adopted your recommendation on Monday, they also adopted some additional language the staff crafted and gave to them to consider, and they agreed to adopt it under the heading of interjurisdictional coordination. You remember at the very end of the Sebaria plan, there's this heading, interjurisdictional coordination talks about we should talk to Woodway, we should talk to Sonoma County, we should work, you know, multilaterally to figure out how to address land use impacts, governance, service delivery, all those things. Because some of the pending county discussions on their amendments talk about dealing with cities who have an urban growth area that is within a half a mile of Point Wells without naming Shoreline, we figured this would be a good time to beef up some of that language to say we would like to enter into interlocal agreements with Snohomish County on such issues as governance, land use impacts, and even suggested that at such time as there's a permit processed in Snohomish County, if that actually happens, and an environmental impact statement is prepared in Snohomish County, which we're confident they would have to have an EIS on a project of that magnitude. This additional language suggests that they enter into an agreement with the Shoreline for us to do the transportation piece of the EIS, rather than have them do it with their consultants, have us look at it, say we don't agree, which is what happened last summer, where we then were spending a lot of time telling them why their methods were wrong, their data was wrong, their assumptions were wrong. So we're sort of holding that out as a specific suggestion for them to consider.
Would that be mostly an administrative process, or would that go through us again and or through council for approval?
The EIS would still be their EIS. But in effect, we would be subcontracting as a technical staff, basically our public works department, okay. to come up with, recall you all recommended this transportation corridor study. Mm-hmm. Basically, rather than doing that twice, we would do it just once in the impact statement, which then gives us authority to say, you will pay this amount of money for this improvement. So it was our way of avoiding redundancy, avoiding a situation where, even if we didn't care about how much money the developer's having to spend, if he had to spend it twice, so what? The problem is, he'd be spending one for Sonoma County, come up with an analysis that we likely would not agree with, and then spend the same money to have us come up with our view of all these things, and still be sort of at loggerheads. So anyway, that's one of the things we added, is language into this area plan to show the county that, you know, in good faith, we would prefer to work with you rather than sue you. But the subtext is, we still have that lawsuit hanging out there, and we would like to have it dismissed. And you can help us think about dismissing it if you can give us some relief on what the agreements would be conditioning any development in the county at Point Wells. Mm-hmm. So that's a real, not so quick, overview of what's going on with all that. We'll get you a copy of that subarea plan because now it is part of the comprehensive plan of the city of Shoreline.
Right.
And keep you posted on what's happening with county process as it comes to some kind of new development. Steve, anything else worth pointing out about Point Wells?
No, I spent 2 hours yesterday listening to the Somers County Council in action, and it's very unclear what it is they actually gave direction to do, so we're waiting until Monday when their staff
tells you what you think they heard.
So what they, yes, exactly. I'm pretty sure that they did adopt the thing talking about the interlocal. It's not final. This is kind of direction. It's kind of a study session direction thing in front of the final adoption. But it sounds like they have the votes to do that, so that's good.
So is anyone going to go speak to their public hearing from our council?
Well, their hearing was actually Wednesday. So we had a letter from the mayor that we submitted. Right. Between now and May 5th, we can continue to talk to them through their staff. So we'll see what comes of that.
Is their public hearing closed then?
No. Yeah, they closed. Well, actually,
it's kind of like the way
it's a little
one
bit
thing
unclear
clear.
What they did. Yeah. It sounded like they closed the hearing.
If they didn't, they intended to.
I think.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you for the chance to kind of insert that into the agenda. Now, Paul directly talked about design.
Is there historic information that Cynthia and I should get regarding this? Because it sounds like it's going to be an ongoing process and we're new to the commission.
Trees?
No, Point Wells.
Oh, Point Wells. Well, no, it's not of the shoot. It's going to be part of the comprehensive plan. At some point in the future, the only way that a permit would come to you for, you need to know about the history of all this, would be if it were to be annexed to the city. So, the most likely scenario is that it is not annexed into the city until after a project is built there in Snohomish County. That's just my sense of things. So, if that's the eventuality, it'll take a while for that to happen. But that's why we're trying to work with the county to make sure they can give us whatever kind of control we think is appropriate over transportation impacts through their process.
Did I just clarify? I think I heard you just say you didn't think annexation would happen until after the project was completed.
I think that's more likely.
So we're looking at 10, 15 years down the road at least.
Depends who you talk to. If you talk to the developer, they'll be ready to go in maybe 3 years.
3 years,
yeah.
Well, that wasn't what we heard when we took the walkabout.
Yeah, many things were said.
Okay.
It's interesting to hear what is said to the Snohomish County Council that's not said to us. It's fun to sit there and watch on the computer. Oh, really? They said that.
They indicated it'd be 3 years before they really started taking anything down, let alone even beginning to build a project. So.
Well, they have said, let me recall, the person who is the property owner is this elderly gentleman who sees this as his legacy and would like to have this happen sooner rather than later. Because he's very much up in years, I think saying it's going to take 10 years is really palatable to him. So he's interested in doing something in the near term, I would think, which then I think would put them in the position of wanting to find out from Shoreline Woodway exactly what is it going to take for you guys to agree that we can proceed in the county. So I think we're, that's the kind of negotiating position I think we find ourselves in now. I think we're in a good position, but it's hard to tell.
Moving on to results of the April 1st design charrette.
Yes. As you know, since the charrette started, we've been working to build information and momentum for the whole design review process and the design view standards as they apply to the town center and possibly on to other parts of the city, but we're sort of focusing around town center initially. And the charrette was the kickoff, really, for that. And what we did is we, I think most of you were there, and sat in on a number of these discussions, but we had a survey done before we did the group work. And we just got the results back from the consultant. And so we quickly turned them around and sent them into the packet to you. And then as we went through those results, we decided they needed a little bit more deciphering. So that was the email that I sent you, which is this, and I just passed it out a copy, the summary results, where I went through the results of the survey and tried to assimilate some of that, interpolate a little bit of that, and see if we could create a little bit more shape out of it. And what I wanted to say about this is, one of the things I wanted to say is that this is sort of people piecing together their opinions and hoping that they'll come together into some sort of cohesive town center that you could see land uses and amenities, etc. And I think there's plenty of room to keep interpolating more or interpreting what this means. And perhaps even if people, individuals who were there, saw this list here, this summary list, they might just say, well, might be able to say, oh, now that I see that, they might have more revelations or sort of advanced their thinking about that. So this is like the first cut. You guys are going to all be interpreting this stuff yourself. And as we take it to the next level, I think people will start to see some of these things come together. So what I wanted to show you was that on the sheet I handed out to you, I started ranking these things down where from high priority to no way was the expression used. I broke those into four groups, and under high priority, there were none that were selected that gained 2 points or more. And then under high priority to desirable, a couple of things started to emerge that were kind of interesting. One was that there was a particularly one image number 6, if it means anything to you, about pedestrian-friendly streets with open street parking and storefronts. That image was very high in people's minds. That was seen mostly in areas B and C. Maybe to give you the view of area A, it got very little votes for it, other than perhaps some townhouse development, definitely street closures or partial street closures were a big part of that in terms of protection of the neighborhood, and that people who know Area D, which is Linden basically, A is basically Stone Avenue, March along Stone, decided to separate themselves. There are 12 out of the 39 voters to say, we think there should be an Area D, which is great because we just suggested these areas knowing that people are going to want to play with it and move it around.
I had a question about that. Those 12, were they all from that same table?
I can't
say. Or was it more?
Well, my table had a lot of people. Well, there were only 4 people had people all from D, and so I heard it from them.
The reason I'm asking is because there was a constituency there that was extremely well represented, and I was just curious if it was a more broadly, if it was broadly
people
accepted that a D was a legitimate breakout or not.
Well, there were more than six people at any one table. Some tables had only four people.
So maybe it was three tables.
Okay, that was my only.
But we thought it was significant enough to take note of it, and that people saw those as two. We saw them as transition areas or neighborhood protection areas, however you want to word it. And the people who live in the area saw a finer distinction of that for that. So I wanted to hold that out as separate. But within the other thing that was interesting, that there's a big emphasis on pedestrian-oriented spaces in Area B, which is the Bs, which are Fertilands and Midland or Midvale areas. They saw up to two-story mixed-use areas with the possibility up to four stories, but there was some softness on that voting on that part. And that in the Area C, they saw up to four-story mixed uses with some softness towards five or six stories. What maybe many people don't realize is the current zoning now allows up to six stories.
In all these places.
B and C. So, but that's, you know, I don't know what to do with that other than maybe people didn't understand that, but and this is what they thought anyways. It was more appropriate.
One way to interpret this is just they saw C as being much more intense than B.
Yeah.
Or B much less intense than C.
I think people picked up on that. Their level of intensity was probably a little lower than I thought anticipated, but that's how it fell. When it got to sort of desirable and neutral, as it softens down, they start looking for step-back buildings along Area A, which is that transition area. There is townhouse development in A and D. And so they even, I guess people from Area D, who wanted an Area D, were open to up to two stories of mixed-use buildings in Area D. They picked that image. So it wasn't just townhouses there, but maybe two-story mixed-use. And whereas Area A, I think, was townhouses max at the most. Even sort of soft approval of retail commercial in Area C, exclusive retail commercial, as opposed to mixed use. So I hope that starts to, all these start to paint a picture. And then at the other end, which was kind of down below neutral and towards no way, pea patches, curbless streets with bollards. If you remember, there these streets where pedestrians and cars can mix at slow speeds together. That seemed to maybe have confused people what exactly that was. No other land uses or building types selected for Area A. And also towards no way, exclusively commercial buildings in Area B. So that whole Midvale, Fertilands, they see as a mixed-use area. Lower intensity than the Area C, which is connected more towards Aurora. It was interesting, this, we call it the skinny tower building. The building near the end was about 10 stories high. Well, in the first survey, we used that same image and said, would you prefer taller buildings with more open space around them or lower buildings with less open space around them? And people picked, not unanimously, but fairly strongly, they liked the taller buildings with more space around them. And then when we showed it here in this survey, it was just completely nixed. So yeah, I'm not saying that's a contradiction, because there's a lot of ways of mixing and matching.
The image makes a whole bunch of difference. That image was a really poor choice.
I know, looking up and disappearing, even though it was maybe only 10.
I voted against that.
And
how did you vote back in October? How did you vote on it back in October?
Well, I supported it.
Okay.
So
you're a politician.
Well, maybe you can shed light on what that could mean. There's nothing you can grab hard onto and say, this is exactly what it means. It's softer at this stage, I think. And then the thing that you suggested for the survey, the living buildings, came out big, came out as a high priority. It wasn't associated with any area, but I think it was the general desire to have living buildings or green buildings built green, low impact development stuff associated with development throughout the town center. And then I broke it down into, I sort of resorted it into A, B, and C, and D for you. And if you want to summarize, they're very simplistic. There's room for more to put in with this and to interpolate more. But Area A was mostly townhouses with single-family street closures or half-closures. Area B, which is Midvale Furlands, two to maybe four stories, mixed-use buildings with a lot of pedestrian amenities, spaces, friendly streets. Area C, which is, sorry, I'm being repetitive because I just want to make sure everyone's oriented. Area C is mostly associated around Aurora, up to four-story buildings with these same amenities. And Area D, just to show that it was 12 out of 39 participants, and they were all open to two stories with mixed use. And this also came late to me, too, so I thought I'd bring it to me. Yeah, during the groups, by the way, we haven't done any kind of synthesis of the group work yet. They're still working on that. We assume most people voted parallel to what they voted for from the first survey in their groups, but not necessarily. They can affect each other. But one of the things we had people do is vote. Sorry, I need one of these. We asked them to pick their top three public amenities. And so this is just the results of this. The public amenity that comes out on top by far is pedestrian-oriented spaces. The image is people sitting out, chairs and tables out in front of stores or restaurants in the public realm. And then second was some sort of central green. And it starts to taper off there, covered open spaces and public art. And on the backside, it drops down. Children's play area, interestingly, was just about dropped completely.
But do they get to pick one?
No, they get to pick three.
They got to pick three.
Three of their top.
Without waiting. I mean, no waiting.
And
first, second, or third choice.
Right. And then the landmark feature, a lot of people, at least in my group, were saying, well, we don't want a tower. So, well, that's just an idea. It could be a lot of things. And people were...
But they like public art, and I would have considered those two to be very similar.
Yeah, sometimes they're blended together in some way, yeah.
Yeah, again, I think the landmark feature is a result of the choice of images.
Well, and sometimes you have to take a risk and put out an image knowing that some people are don't know what they think, but when they see it, they know they don't like it or they do like it. And that's the starting of, okay, we get a feeling for people. So that maybe that they're not against all landmarks, but that one image, for whatever reason, just hit them wrong.
So this here, is this a sum of all of the votes that were cast, or this is just like the bottom and the top?
You know, I think these are all the amenities that were listed in the survey. Good question. I can check on that. Hey, yeah, maybe there were some that got zero and they just completely dropped out.
Yeah, we got about 83, so.
Yeah, that's them.
How many are there, Steve?
Oh, because it's just the public amenities. Okay.
Just the public amenities. Because we know, the reason we did it that way is we know people like most of these amenities, but... And also knowing that we may not be able to do them all. And so it was the idea of giving people more than one choice, because we knew that most people had more than one favorite.
Well, and the reality of things as well, many of these things can be all integrated into a single concept.
Exactly. You can have art under a covered open space, or et cetera.
It becomes
a landmark.
Exactly.
Michael's idea of living buildings, the table I sat with, oh, they thought that was a horrible idea, and then pea patches, and I said, well, you know, how about building some planters on the side of a building?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess you could do that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's pretty simple, and it actually integrates both the idea of a pea patch and a living building. It's, you get something green and living and something usable out of a planter box. But when they were opposed to both ideas.
Right. And if you think about the way the survey was set up, it's the one of the things to remember is that people were there making singular decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea was, the group was like saying, how can we pull all this together? And it was still in a raw form. But I think the good thing about it is it gets people thinking about the layers, what's involved in planning, as well as we get their opinion about what their first preferences are.
And don't you think also that a key thing about it, too, is not all of this has to be in the city center? I mean, a lot of these amenities can be, you know, a couple blocks south, or, you know, does a playground have to be right downtown? It can be two blocks away kind of thing. I mean, they're all great things, but they don't all have to live in the same center, mm-hmm. shoreline.
Are we going to do any more work with Makers?
Yeah, that's the next thing on the we're going to talk about right now, which is May 20th. We have a meeting set up for Makers to come. And
to the commission or to where?
I'm sorry, to the Planning Commission to present what we call a heavy outline of what design standards could look like. And it's going to be like a menu. There's going to be a number of ideas that they have a lot of experience with from other jurisdictions, to sort of like a menu to say, here's some ways of dealing with store frontages or streets, etc.
Can we get maybe a packet of, because I know what you said about you'd react to images. If they have so much experience, can they provide kind of a virtual walkthrough, and not a lot necessarily, but of sort of a completed downtown? And I'm not, I don't want to make a whole bunch of extra work, but it would be nice to get
virtual tour.
Yeah, just part of what I struggle with is that we're trying to come up with specifics, and you know, how do you regulate versus say what you would like? How do you encourage versus mandate? And having, I think, some other potentially different images that are more cohesive, we can put. We talked about this in our last meeting, which you weren't at, but. It became sort of a running joke of like, if only we had a picture, and then we got a picture. The picture didn't help. But I think that we could go a lot further if we could maybe leverage some of their other knowledge. Just as you get it, if you could take a look, and I think we're a more visual crowd, and we think that's probably a little bit more helpful for.
I'll see what they can do about that.
One of the reason I asked the question was in perfect line with what Michelle's saying. I've seen the process where you have lots of images, just images that you flash up. And the first process we went through, you had the button thing, yes or no, yes or no.
Yeah.
And the process was, is they put an image up and you vote yes or no. And all of the crowd have this, and you just record the images that they like and the ones they don't. And that really, in other words, instead of having one landmark image, you maybe have 20 that you go through, yes or no, yes or no.
Yeah.
And you start to get a pattern of what they really like. And so this builds on what Michelle is saying. If we could do something like that, I think that would be more beneficial and give us a real, a much better feel for what resonates and what doesn't. And that's a process I know is done. I've seen it done.
So what if the, I'll check with Makers about this, but what if they presented a bunch of suggested standards for different aspects of town center, and then could do a photo tour of hopefully one place that incorporates some of those things. Would that help?
Or even if they were, say they had an a landmark building.
No.
If they could show us like five or six different examples of landmark buildings instead of just one.
So it doesn't come down to the choice just that you made. You made a bad choice here, so everybody votes against it. People are oriented visually. I don't care whether you're right or left-brained. In the final analysis, if you put an image in front of someone and then ask them, do you like this or not, you know, the first thing they're going to vote on is the image, not the concept.
You know, this may be consistent with the approach they've been talking about with some of their design standards where they have a menu. Like, there are a number of different ways to get to how do you create human scale at the street wall, and four or five different ways to do it, illustrated with the menu. So, they have all this, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure they do, too.
It's a matter of how they...
So it's a menu on building something that gets to what your goal is, like some public spaces where people gather and linger, whatever.
Yeah.
And what are the different routes to get to that? Here are some different combinations of that. Something like that?
Yeah, because we've been kind of jumping ahead to it and jumping back, looking at all the things Makers has done. They've done this for Vancouver, for Kirkland, for lots of places. And talking to us, they've also pointed out that what people like the most, even in the regulation you come up with, is to illustrate with more than just one picture. And because then you're trying to convey, here's the principle we're after here.
Yes.
Here's how it's done this way. Here's how it's done that way. You pick one of these five. Or if you want to go off the menu to a sixth choice, okay, but we're not sure what the answer will be.
Right.
So they try to get predictability and still some flexibility.
And that was something in my group that we heard over and over. I don't like this particular picture. And I think the narrow, curbless street with ballards, whatever they're called, that was one where people went, well, I like the concept, but I don't like the picture. Yeah. So again, I think you picked up on that, but people weren't quite clear what that meant because of this picture. So again, the more that you can have, and again, it comes back to perceptions that people have, and we would look at, it's like, well, here's two pictures, and it's like, well, I like this one, but I don't like this one. I can't remember, there was one example where it was really the same design,
yeah,
but one was structured different. People said, yeah, I like this, but I don't like that. So,
yeah, it's very interesting how that works, where you try to piece together something that's a 3D model and then something that's sort of in your head anyway, that's something you want to experience. It's not just a slice of an image or that's pieced together.
And having it in a greater context where you could see how all of those pieces would go together.
Yeah, I think that's what Michelle was saying.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, maybe instead of breaking it down to teeny pieces, show how these different concepts we think are going to be a part of Town Center could be a combination of these pieces and how they come together.
Now, the 20th is going to be more of Town Center or more design review, or how is that going to work?
Right now we're on the design review track. We want to get that rolling.
The other thing that I'd like to throw out there, and this is going to sound sort of harebrained, but having come back from Europe over Christmas, there's not a street in Copenhagen that doesn't have a bike lane next to the pedestrian lane. And I like that a lot of the things that we're seeing in the U.S. are starting to come into, you know, pedestrian friendly. I think that to the extent that we have any influence, we need to think about biking too. And I know we've talked about it. I just feel like none of these images, even the narrow street with bollards, does not accommodate multiple modes. And I think like Mike Boyle was talking about last week, we got to get some things in priority and, you know, just make sure that we have that as a focus of where we can we start to build that into it.
Well, one of the things we've been talking about in the house already is about one of the elements are streets, and what we call now dropping the name complete streets, which involve not just the travel lane, but what happens from back a sidewalk, and at least back a sidewalk throughout. And it's used for a number of different things, gathering space as well. And my thought, it may evolve too, is that there's a sort of four areas where design standards might focus around. One is streets, anything in the public realm, which overlaps with streets, but also in sort of these private public spaces from development, the front walkways or lobbies and things like that. And then neighborhood protections, we call them transition areas, but I think neighborhood protection is a better name for it. And then buildings, how much we want to say about building design and where. Is it the interface where it is on the public realm, or do we care about what it looks like from a distance, so forth. So those are the four general areas I'm thinking about, and obviously they can all overlap. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I just wanted to make, along the lines of what we're talking about, I agree with the comments about the visual image can dominate the reaction, and that's true, I think, of this summary, more so than what the group synthesis will be.
Right.
So I'll be real interested to see the group synthesis, because I found, at least in my group, and I bet you it's true, that we didn't, all of us would say the same thing. We'd say, oh, I don't like that image, but I like the concept, or vice versa. So we really talked more about the concepts than the images. We got past the, I don't like that landmark feature image. And we did, so I was encouraged by that. You know, it's like, so I just want to balance that with some of the, because I agree with, you know, more images is better, but you can also, images only will take us so far, and even if we loved one great landmark feature image for some reason, because we, you know, that, how meaningful is that necessarily? You know, it's just, it's because that's a really good image. You know, I mean, so, So there, you have to balance that, even though I agree with the, but I think that talking about the concepts, which happened in the group, was actually more valuable and meaningful in some ways than yeah. the reaction to the image.
Well, we should have the results from the group by then, and maybe it makes sense to start off with that.
That sounds good. And
to give the results of the group work, and before we start getting into their recommendations on ideas for standard design standards for different things.
Yeah. On what Michelle was talking about bicycle lanes, it's the Aurora is an automotive-driven strip, and it seems to me that we have an opportunity here to redesign the type of transportation that's going to go through here. We have the interurban trail. We have potentially a bike lane. And we might want to think about what types of transit are going to go through what types of sections and how the buildings and spaces mm-hmm. would relate to the different types of transit. Mm-hmm. For example, if we're going to have a bicycle trail walk path, that would be probably the place to think about putting pedestrian areas where people could walk and sit. Mm-hmm. We don't want to try and put them in the middle of Aurora on a bus stop with the heaviest traffic volume. That won't work. So I think that, you know, what Michelle said made me think about that. We really do need to think about how the traffic is going to move, what types of traffic, how people are going to move through, and then design the buildings and the structures around the way people are going to move through this section.
Yeah.
Instead of defaulting to the automotive model, you know, I think we want to get beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, again, we talked last time, or a time or two ago, that, and you touched on this, Paul, it makes sense to break the town center down into areas A through D, as we've done. In terms of land use, perhaps, but each of the roads can also be categorized. So what are we trying to do with this road? Mm-hmm. And like it or don't, Aurora is being built the way it's being built. We could critique it, but that would be a waste of air. It's going to be built the way it's going to be built. But we're talking every other street is in play. You know, Linden, Stone, Fremont, 175, 185, these other smaller streets up here. So those are the streets, Midvale. We should be talking about what's the purpose and life of those streets in terms of parking or traffic or what the traffic mm-hmm. speeds or bicycles or parking. And again, I think what he has in mind to do is to come back and make suggestions about from what he's seen so far, what would the role in life be for Midvale that might be different than Linden, that might be different than Stone, all of which are different than 175 and 185. So I think the streets are going to have their own objective, differing from street to street, yeah. that we could articulate in the sub-area plan.
I think we have
Ben.
Yeah.
What's that?
Get out your vision statement for the street.
And we have a good opportunity to shape that right now. Before this is just a good opportunity because it's sort of open for us to look at that.
Well, one thing I would caution, and it builds on what's been said before, is. I would like to be sure that whatever happens, it's done in an integrated design fashion so that the streets and the buildings and the uses are all looked at and how do they work together and mesh together.
Interface.
So it interface and one complements the other. Typically the way I see design happen, and not necessarily urban design, but even that, is you know you come in, you build the building, and then as an afterthought almost, you throw a landscape into it. And the new paradigm is you do the whole thing together. Everybody's around the table, and the design evolves out of all of that. And it's not, the landscape isn't driven by the architect's concepts and dreams. It's driven by a more group integrated approach. And I would hope that the town center, the way that's done, is in this more integrated design fashion.
Yeah, I think that's good. Another thing I just thought of also is that we're going to be talking about, I don't know how far we'll get with it on the 20th, but it's about the design review process. And right now, the choices we've been talking about was an administrative design review with criteria, maybe a special land use review for certain projects of a scale or a certain location. And we're, we strongly believe that that's going to be a better process. The idea of a commission has inherent fraught with problems. Number one is the money to staff a separate design commission, number one, and number two, also the whether the amount of projects is going to justify it and whether we have the resources and budget to staff it.
We did talk about this at your joint meeting with the City Council.
Oh, okay.
Where the staff was saying exactly that. So we're looking at recommending an administrative design review process, which means the standards matter a lot. Because otherwise you've got administrators just kind of winging it. You want to have real clear correction, real clear sideboards, real clear illustrations that will all be adopted legislatively after your hearing and after your recommendation to the council. If you want to hold the notion of maybe at some day, if the economy can support staffing a design review board, we could go in that direction. But at this point, we're keeping things glued together with the resources we have. So that was the reason for the staff recommendation. I think Sid Caboy even asked this question a few months ago, you may recall. He said, well, come on, spit it out, staff. What are you going to recommend? Mm-hmm. And what we spat out was what I just said, that we don't have the resources to staff a design review board, mm-hmm. but we do have the resources to come up with standards that provide a lot of clear guidance about what the process will allow.
Our intent is to make these standards very clear, you know, and well thought out, so that there's less negotiation about it, there's more clear about it. Obviously, if they go into an administrative design review, we look at criteria, mm-hmm. which gives us flexibility to actually basically try to get the best product for the city within the parameters of criteria. So,
and some of the things that came out of the South Park or the Southeast neighborhood that we referred on as citywide issue.
Freudian slip about those characters.
Southeast. The Muslims are after this. I lost my train there.
Sorry.
There were things like the buildings, the mm-hmm. mega buildings, and that sort of thing. That's a design related issue, and those are the kinds of things that I would assume that are in that design parameters, if you will.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. It'll make more sense. It'll make more sense as this thing starts to gel more and more. I had about 5 years experience doing administrative design reviews exclusively for Bellevue years ago. And so I'm familiar with that process. Not that we're going to do that, but we'll look at other jurisdictions, how they do administrative design reviews, so there's something to pick from, try to get the best. Okay, that's all I have about design review and next week, or Monday, May 20th.
I have two more things that I'd kind of like to add. One is something that came up after we had talked about the MUZ zone in the Planning Commission meeting. And I know I brought it up because after we went to council, Will and I went to talk to council about it, and there was some public comment there as well. And one of the things that kind of entered my brain at that time was this concept of an interurban bonus and making connections to the interurban trail and giving bonuses for people. And I think, as you're talking about, Joe, having those connections on those streets, I think that's a really great way where we could incorporate how do we want to really capitalize on it. We talked about, well, we have this great amenity, the interurban trail, but we've got a lot of buildings that are there, alleyways are backed up next to it, and it's brambles of blackberries, unfortunately.
Yeah, connectivity to the, yeah.
Yeah, and so, I mean, we'd all kind of, I think, at least I had visions of little coffee houses that open onto the interurban trail, and you know, I think we missed an opportunity with the MUZ overall to build that in, but I made a note to myself, fortunately I remembered, that we need to think about that. Is that something that's desirable? And if so, how do we what kind of bonuses would we want to offer, how would we get there, what, and staff wouldn't have to tell us, you know, what do we, you know, we don't want height bonuses on the Interurban Trail, but what do we have as options as far as how do we get some other encouragement to, is there city funding that we could have to create pathways or some plaza type stuff?
Incentives is a great idea, and you've already got some of that kind of thinking in the MUZ zone. But another thing to think about is there may be some things you just want to flat out acquire. Steve and I heard a presentation by the Urban Land Institute the other day where they were saying when it comes to green building, you shouldn't be giving bonuses for this. Just that's what they should be doing.
Yeah.
So just mandate it.
Okay.
So.
Well, I think we'll need to get some direction, obviously, from you there.
Yeah, there's
on
been,
what, how much we can push.
Yeah.
What we can ask for.
There's probably going to be a hierarchy or a combination of standards you just have to meet and that we know we can negotiate that into the development, and ones where the city actually maybe put out some incentives, I don't know if it's monetary, we build something or whatever, and then there's things where if they want bonus and some bonus, and obviously they'll be looking for density or parking favors, we want to see how far we can stretch that, make use of that. So it might be a combination of those three things that sort of get us to what we want.
The other thing that I jot down is that I am concerned about the height and that you've seen some discrepancy on what people think is possible versus what is currently zoned or versus what's currently allowed within the regs. So I think that we want to be, to the extent we have more open meetings, I think we want to be really transparent about that up front and make a point so that we don't end up surprising people. And Paul mentioned that certain people said they only wanted two-story buildings when they didn't realize that they could have six-story buildings currently with zoning. And so I think we need to be a little bit more transparent.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I don't necessarily know how transparent I want to be here. I don't want people coming in demanding that we only have two-story buildings. So I think we need... But I would hate to move forward with a disconnect that seems pretty significant. And I don't know, maybe it's something that we could talk about if other people have other perspectives on what they heard at the tables.
And another way to think about how to put the building height differences out there for people to react to and comment on is that we have in mind that the environmental impact statement that's going to be written for all this stuff is going to include a component talking about aesthetic impacts. So we already have a SketchUp model of the whole area. We can do a SketchUp model of several different alternatives. What if you want six-story buildings throughout? What if you want a combination of six, fours, and twos? What if you want all fours? What does that look like, and what does that do in terms of the capacity, how many jobs, how many trips could that alternative create? Because one of the things you have to do in an impact statement is present alternatives. And we could either have the do nothing is always one alternative, but another one could be, you know, this is kind of ironic. The do nothing alternative is six-story buildings everywhere, because that's what the MUZ allows, right?
Right.
So we'll have to figure out what are a couple of other alternatives that we could analyze, you know, create some computer modeling to show people literally what it would look like, and then see what that does to capacity for jobs or housing and impacts from traffic.
I just don't know that we're going to get as much of the public engaged in at that stage. I don't see a lot of public comment on the environmental impact statement versus the charrette. You know, like, that's great. I'm not just saying that's not going to give us some idea, but that's more administrative, in my opinion, than public input, sort of appeasing the masses and getting their validations. I think we need to be, maybe that's a current article that needs to be written.
Well, there's probably a bunch of different ways to
get the eyeballs on it.
Yeah, well, I've been at a couple of public meetings where the SketchUp models have been shown, and people are just hypnotized by it because they just think it's so cool. And you walk through it, you go down to ground level, and make a left, and then, wow. And you turn on the shadow program for, what's your birthday? March 10th. Here's the shadows of March 10th at 2 p.m.
It's raining.
And it's, yeah. And,
it's raining.
Assuming it's not overcast. But that's the kind of a graphic that can really engage the public.
Yeah.
And if we've already got the model built, it's a matter of putting some additional building, you know about the SketchUp program. Yeah. You can plug different kinds of buildings in there, We can take real buildings and plug them in there,
yep,
and look at it from a bunch of different angles, or just do an animation. We've got an animation on the
of the existing site.
It's just how we're going to get the public to come back again for a third session and get them to...
Tell them you're considering 12-story buildings throughout.
Right. And I don't think that meeting, it was so clear.
Tape recorders can end up with a bed.
I don't think it was really clear, you know, it said 4-story, and I don't think people really understood that visually, what that means.
Seems huge to them.
Yeah, that's like, oh man, that's tall. Well, you know, what is this, a 4-story building? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that, I don't think it was a negative. Mm-hmm. I think it was just not really clear. Yeah.
I just hate to have a disconnect. Yeah. A big one. And I not having been there to hear the people's comments, I just want us to be.
On your comment about, you know, and Joe said this too, you know, the do-nothing approach is to allow 6 stories. And, you know, you were talking about allowing the public to get, you know, a realistic view of what's going on. When we talked about this, you said that there was a possibility of writing zoning that would be applicable to just the town center. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are you, or are we talking about potentially eliminating some of the so-called Muse Zone prop buildings and rezoning them into something that would be of a less intense use?
Bigger
or less?
Could they be both? We talked about, this is kind of what we think regional, you know, the old regional business is what worth citywide. If
Correct.
You talk about town center, I think we were thinking it would be more intense. Not necessarily.
I think
8 stories or 12 stories.
Room,
I think just intensity. Yeah.
I think you've got room with the town center to have the Severia plan say whatever you want to say, and then for the zoning be written to say whatever you think the zoning should say. That could be more intense than Muse. It could be less intense than Muse. It could be. It certainly will be more specific about certain kinds of design standards than Muse is. But in terms of allowing more building, more traffic. The staff at least isn't assuming you're trying to create more impact.
Well, I guess the point that I'm trying to make,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not advocating bigger or smaller. Mm-hmm. You know, Michelle, you just were talking about having an area adjacent to the urban trail,
mm-hmm,
that would be pedestrian oriented.
Right.
Well,
that
a lot of the buildings, that would mean smaller height.
At the front end.
At the front.
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily.
It could be step back.
It could be step back.
There's a whole bunch of ways you can get there.
Correct.
Door
front.
Yeah. But
we need more pictures.
Yeah.
I mean, currently those spaces are zoned, almost all of that corridor is zoned for Muse.
We don't have a...
When we think about how likely it is that people are going to come in and apply for permits under whatever zoning we create, I think as important or more important than is it 6 stories or is it not 6 stories is going to be what kind of parking requirements are they going to have to meet, because that gets to be very expensive, number one. And number two, how predictable is the permit process? Is it going to be, if you do this, this, and this, here's your permit? Or, no, we have to have a hearing. Maybe you'll get the height, maybe you won't get the height, maybe you get the density, maybe you'll get the density. That's what we're trying to move away from.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we reviewed with you the council's goal number one for 2010-2011 is implement the vision through the comprehensive plan update, including development regulations for places like the town center. So that's in their mind as to what they hope this Severia plan will do, make it a lot more timely, fair, and predictable, because that's really what will attract investors and permit applicants. But I don't think we have to think about giving them the sky, the moon, the sun, 8-story buildings everywhere to get them to apply here, because we don't have to do that.
Looks like we've got less than 3 minutes, and Jessica
has
signaled.
Well, this is nothing to do with business, but I just wanted to ask. There's
you want to turn off the thing?
Well, it doesn't matter. It's